watching tonight is merely 3 hours. Moses, a man whom God spoke with face to face, the author of the Pentateuch, wrote in the first of those 5 books of how God stepped off the pinnacles of eternity onto the plains of creation. And when he had fashioned the heavens and the earth that we know, he established this thing we call time. And my friends, when all the times have come, past and gone, our God will again step into the everlasting foreverness of eternity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And my hope rests, and my hope is based on nothing less than to be with him and do what the old saints used to sing, hold on to his everlasting hand. And so we come this morning to look and see what our Lord and Savior has on this subject. So turn with me, if you will, to the gospel, as according to our good publican friend, the tax collector, Brother Matthew, chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. So as we go there, you may stand if you desire, sit if you will. But the word of God is not dependent upon our posture, but nevertheless, we stand out of reverence to his holy word. But rest assured, if you must sit, I have it on high authority that it is well. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. I hazard to believe that while you're standing, we are there collected. Of course, now I'm operating out of the King James Version. Old habits, you know, hard to change. Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 1, we find these words. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him to shew them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, in the evening ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. And I want you to hold on to verse 4 as we come to the conclusion of this sermon. For Christ says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. You may have your seats. Allow me to introduce the subject of the sermon this way. Some years ago, I attended a high school championship basketball game between two well-known rivals. Now, me and my friends were sitting on one side of the gymnasium, and the fans of the opposing and the opposition team were seated and standing on the other side. Now, to our dismay, the opposition team started off with a quick start and ran up a double-digit lead, but we worked on, and we began to whittle away at their lead and went into halftime and came out. It seemed as if the pendulum had swung in our favor. Momentum was on our side. And with just over 2 minutes left in the game, the star player of the opposition team fouled out, at which point we had whittled the score down to just a 4-point lead. We felt good. We can get it done. And with 30 seconds left in the game, we tied the score. We had it made. We were going to get them. We were going to win. Well, now the opposition took the ball out to go down to try to win, and they tried to eat up as much time, and they took a shot thinking it was their best shot. But they missed, and we rebounded. We hurried down court, but by misadventure, in haste, our player inadvertently passed the ball out of bounds. We looked at the clock, 4 seconds left in the game. Well, we said to ourselves, now, the star player of the opposition team has fouled out. The score is tied. Momentum is on our side. It's only 4 seconds left in the game. We would hold them And surely we would go into overtime, and in overtime we would win. Well, the opposition took the ball out, they rushed down court, and just as they crossed the half-court line to take a wild shot, our player committed a foul as the buzzer sounded the end of the game. The entire gymnasium was in shock. Why would this young man commit a foul with virtually no time left in the game? Well, there was a reporter there who asked him that question. It came out in the morning paper, and in that article, the young man said, "I had not looked at the clock, and I did not know the time." I come by this morning to pose a question as my subject. Do you know the time? Do you know the time? This is what Christ is teaching in this lesson that we have read as our scripture text. And I just love the way that Matthew writes. He paints with such vivid colors that it's so easy to understand the encounter that Christ is having with these men. Matthew began by saying, the Pharisees, and use the words also with the Sadducees. That is telling us that these two groups are not together. They are different and distinct in their living and in their philosophy of faith. On the first hand, we have the Pharisees. Now, these are the common people, the working people, sort of like us. And they've grown tired of the chicanery of the priests always tipping the scales against them in favor of the Sadducees. And so they had begun leaning on the scribes for their understanding of Mosaic law, and further, they held on to the traditions of their forefathers and the prophecies of the prophets. Thereby, they believed in the resurrection of life, and they were waiting the coming of the Messiah. But their problem is that they were not ready to receive a lamb to take away the sins of the world. For they were looking for a mighty warrior king to take away the Romans of the world.
All right.
On the other hand, we have the Sadducees, and their name says it all. Sadducee. Now, they were the wealthy, the ruling class, and they were both in cahoots with the priests and accommodating to the Roman rule, Roman authority, and Roman law. And because of their strict reading of Mosaic law, they did not believe in the resurrection of life. And so the old adage is even true then, that the enemy of my enemy, though he is my enemy, when it befits me, is my friend. And so they've come together in opposition to Christ, one out of unbelief, born out of disdain, and the other out of disbelief, born out of doctrine. And we see this unholy alliance again and again in the gospel, tempting Christ in an effort to bring him to ridicule before his disciples, his followers, and the multitude. And so in this encounter, they have come to Christ again, and what they are saying to him, "Now, if you would have us to believe, then show us a sign from heaven." To make it plain, do something miraculous that only can be done by the power of God. Well, now, listen carefully. Christ could have. I didn't say he did. Christ could have said, "Well, where were you? Were you not at the wedding when I changed the water to wine?" Well, maybe you didn't get an invitation. Maybe you were not there.
Come on.
"Were there you down by the pool called Bethesda when I gave the lame to walk?" No, maybe you were not there. "Well, were you there when the lepers came by and cried out for mercy? And with a wave of my hand, they were healed, and I sent them on to the high priest according to law." But maybe you were not there. "Were you in the crowd when I was on my way to Darius' house, for his daughter was gravely ill, and a woman with an issue of blood reached out and took hold of the hem of my garment? And when I pressed her, she made confession, and not only was she healed, but she was made whole." Well, maybe Maybe you were not there. But I do know where you were not. You were not at Darius' house, but there only took Peter, James, and John, the mother and the father. Listen to me. Only those of faith and a desiring heart will ever see or experience the resurrection of life. But I do know where you were. You were in the temple. But when I gave sight to the blind man on the Sabbath, you were offended. And you hauled him in to query him to cause me ridicule. But when he did not go along with your scheme, you kicked him out. No, Christ didn't do that. But what he did do is he snatched that question out of thin air and placed it on solid earth where it belongs, talking about time and season. Allow me for a moment to deal with time and what it really is so that we can understand what Christ is saying to us even today in this scripture text. Now, time is not that clock on the wall back there, for that is merely a mechanical device, a sign of time. The batteries run out, you unplug it, it'll stop, but time rolls on.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Brother Reeves, what is time? Time is the continuous movement of the earth as set into motion by God. Everything in all of our languages of units of measurement of time is based on the fact that the earth spins around on its axis at the speed, Sister Upshaw, of 1,000 miles an hour. That is time. And so you can mark any point on the earth, and it goes all the way around and come back to that point. We call it a day. 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 4.1 seconds. Well, the first note of unit of time in the Bible, God says it was the first day. Well, I hear some saying, well, Brother Reeves, I thought an hour a day was 24 hours. Well, what happened to the 3 minutes, 55.9 seconds, my brother, our sisters from Florida Memorial? Amen. Mankind, in all of its wisdom and understanding, cannot measure the perfection of God. And so we collect those 3 minutes, 55.9 seconds, and every 4 years, we add them up and we call it February the 29th, the 366th day of the leap year. Talking about time now. This is what Christ is discussing in our scripture text. Now at the same time, the earth is hurling through the heavens on an ellipse around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour. But not only that, I'm sorry to tell you, the earth am not flat, and the sun does not move. Neither does the sun rise in the east, nor does it set in the west. That is merely a figment of our imagination. The earth is hurling itself through the heavens. So no matter where you stand, you can stand in Siberia in Russia near the North Pole, or you can stand in Malawi on one side of this band of the earth called the equator on one side, or Ecuador on the other side in South America, or you can be in New Zealand down on the bottom near the South Pole. No matter where you stand, when you look up at night, you see the moon, the stars, and the glistenings of the heavens above. We are hurling through the heavens. But not only that, talking about time and seasons. The earth is tilted on its axis at 23.4 degrees. Now, this is where we get our season. This is what Christ is talking about. Now, when the earth is tilted and the fullness is towards the sun, we call that summer. We had a hot summer this year. It goes on a little while on that ellipse, and then it tilts away slightly from the sun, and we call that autumn or fall. Nat King Cole had a song some years ago, "The autumn leaves fall near my window. The autumn leaves are red and gold. The red and the gold and the falling from the trees is a sign of time that we call autumn. Goes on a little further, and then the earth is tilted fully from the sun, and we call that winter. It's in the dormant state. Oh, my God, somebody ought to go home and read Leviticus, the 25th chapter, verses 3 and 4 when you get time. For God said that there shall be a Sabbath of the earth every seventh year. Now, let's look at this thing quickly. There's four seasons. There's 12 months. We do a little division. That's 3 months a season. But seasons don't run up to each other. There's a little transitional period from out of one into the other and from one into the other. So when we boil it down, there's two solid months to every season. Talk with me, somebody. When you add up those 2 months every 6 years, God is going to have a Sabbath of the earth, whether man is obedient or not, because he built it into time and into seasons. What a God we serve. It goes on a little bit in that ellipse, and then it begins to thaw out, and we go into what we call the spring. The farmers begin to till the soil. And then once again, we're back into summer. The full bounty of the earth is in bloom. What a God we serve. And this is what Christ is saying to them. This is no hocus pocus. Christ says to them, you want a sign, but you have mastered the face of the sky. And so you say that when you see a high pressure system afar off in the night burning red through the glow of the moon, you say it's going to be fair weather because that bad weather is still far off. We can take our sheep out to pasture tomorrow. But on another time and another season and another day, when you wake up and see the burning red of the high pressure system through the prism of sunlight, you say it's going to be foul weather today. We better keep the sheep in. But there was a saying at that time that they knew and Christ knew as well. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. This is what we call the time and the seasons. And Christ is saying to them, you have mastered time. And through the ages, you have come to understand the face of the sky.
All right.
But yet you do not know the sign of the time that is standing before you. John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the fourth verse, he says, everything that was made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made, including time. Christ is the time keeper. And he's saying to them, brothers, I have come for another time. For there's a new dispensation that you're living in to come to pass.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Going to verse 4 now. And so as Jonah had needs be to go into the beast of the belly of the beast, rather, so did Christ have needs go into the pits of hell. And so as our Lord and Savior hung on that cross, which was the gateway to death, there again came that wicked and adulterous generation. They first come wagging their heads, pointing their fingers at him, saying, look at him. Said that he would tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. If you be the Son of God, come down from that cross, and then we will believe. Again, they were saying, show us a sign from heaven. Then came the high priest, the scribes, and the elders, that unholy coalition once again, saying, look at it. He saved others, but can he save himself? If you be the king of the Jews, come down off that cross. Again, they were saying, show us a sign from heaven. There was a thief hanging on the cross next to him. Not that thief, the other thief. And if I could talk to you in modern vernacular, he said to him, said, listen, man, now I've heard all this fuss and I see all this commotion going on about you. Mm-hmm. Now, if any of this be true and you have any power, brother,
yes, sir,
why don't you get off this cross and save yourself? And when you do it, save me. No, I don't believe this brother was looking for any sign from heaven. This brother was trying to get off that cross and live.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Now, we've given him a hard time over the years, but I tell you the truth about it. I'm very much like that, brother. For I was born on a cross, and so were you. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And it's because that I believe that he lives, the day will come when he will save me from death too. And so as Christ gave up the ghost and his head fell into the locks of his shoulders, and as he marched into hell for heavenly cause, he stepped first into the upper crust of hell, which we call Hades, where the saints were being held captive by death. Well, and the rushing waters of Christ rehydrated them, and they were quickened to life. Right. Christ went down into the pits of hell and snatched life from the jaws of death. And when he came back up with victory over the grave, those saints got up out of their graves and went into the old holy city. Uh-huh. And told their neighbors, their families, and their friends, the time has come. The time has come. Well, my friends, that was then. But there's a new time coming. Our Lord and our Savior said, watch as well as pray. Oh, he touched our good friend John sitting on the island of Patmos and gave him a vision and said to John, write what you see. That's it. And John wrote, blessed is he that readeth and they that heareth the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand.
All right. All right.
Well, I pose a question today, but I must make a confession. No, I do not know the time. But Christ says, no man knows the time, neither the angels which are in heaven, amen, neither I myself, amen, only God knows the time. My friends, though I may not know the time, I'm so glad that I know the time keeper.
Amen.
And he told me to watch as well as pray. And you know, John looked over and he saw a choir that no man could number. And Brother Henderson, he said, on their lips was a new song that only they could sing. And Reverend Rainey, he said, he looked over and he saw a new gospel, an everlasting gospel.
All right.
I'll stop by this morning and tell you, my friends, that one day, I want to hear that gospel preached. One day I want to be in that number.
All
right. And I want to sing that song.
Yes.
But until that day, I pray to God that the Holy Spirit continues to talk with me.
Yes.
That the Holy Spirit continues to lead me.
Yes.
That the Holy Spirit continues to guide me.
Yes.
For he has told me,
yes,
to hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Whoa.